Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Grace extended. How does God change a wife's heart in being able to extend compassion to her husband? It's the story of Dawn Kanoho and her husband Kopono. All this leading up to his being fired from his job on Christmas morning, and the moments which transpired up to that. Kopono was the principal broker of the company he was at. He was the elected president of a nationally recognized organization comprised of the top 4% of realtors nationwide. In that same year, under his leadership, they were awarded Chapter of the Year. At that same time, he was the featured realtor on House Hunters. Things were really flying high for him. But it was a turning point that would change his life. Things that were going on the inside. And that's why we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is to connect with you, yes, and to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. I wonder today if you have a life that others see in such a way that people admire, people step back, people have a certain impression of the image that you portray. And yet on the inside, there are things that may very well be falling apart. It's in those moments, my friend, that Christ can come and make a difference in your life. He who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. Yes, you. And he shed his precious blood on the cross to wash your sins away. He was buried. And 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. So even at a moment when you get fired, it seems like a death, really. But in Christ, it can be a resurrection. Kopono is a realtor. Dawn is a teacher. They have two children, Emma and Eli. They're members of Grace Bible Pearlside. Kopono and Dawn, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Wow, you know, looking at you folks here in the studio and knowing you folks before and just seeing your life, being in the church. But, you know, Kopono, all the success that you've experienced and the image that was really portrayed. As I looked at your life, I felt like everything was going great and everything was good in your life. And as I began to talk with you, I began to understand there were some things going on deep inside of you that was causing you to almost go through a self-destruction. And tell us about that, because a lot of times we see people on the outside and we admire them, we want to be like them. But like anyone else, we all struggle in different areas in our life. And sometimes we feel like we're all alone. But you went through a time where you were struggling with some drug abuse. Talk to us about that.
Where do I start? Okay. In my profession, it's all about the way that people perceive you to be. You know, you need to be driving a certain kind of car. You need to look a certain way. You need to behave a certain way in order for you to be respected, I think, and in order for you to be respected by your peers and by your clients. And so I tried very, very hard to keep that image up, you know, and that's why I took on all these roles, and I wanted to be a volunteer, and I wanted to do the things that would kind of lead me to a higher place in life. But as I took on more responsibilities, as I took on more roles, as I felt the pressures of what people expected me to be, I think is when I really felt like I needed a release. I needed something to get me out of myself, to get me out of that box that I felt I was building up for myself, and drugs was a way to do it. You know, it was a time for me to have some time for myself, away from the family, away from responsibilities and kind of be selfish for a little while is really what it is. You know, it's I wasn't thinking about anyone else but me, what I could do to make myself feel better, what I could do to make myself get away from what I felt was closing in around me.
Right. Now, at this time, I mean, both you and Don, your family, you folks are attending church and, mm-hmm. and, you know, being like how a Christian should be like, but you're struggling with these things on the inside. You did a pretty good job of hiding it in the beginning. And so, I mean, even to the place where your wife had no clue about it. And Don, maybe you can talk to us about that, you know, because you, when, you know, what he was going through, you saw... you didn't really see it, actually. And someone talked to you, one of your good friends, asked you a question about Capone. Tell us about mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
So all of this, you know, he was doing well at work and achieving all of these accolades and he was just being recognized for all these things that he was doing with work. And I was proud of him, but... Along the way, I started to notice changes in his physical appearance. He was wearing sunglasses all the time. He started to sweat to the point where he would have to bring extra clothes with him if we were just going to go out to dinner or be out for a couple of hours because he would sweat so much. And on top of that, he was, you know, staying up late, the late hours, early hours into the morning. And he was always a night owl, so... It didn't really faze me, and I never questioned where he was going, what he was doing, you know. And like I said, I wasn't trying to be a cool wife and just let my husband do anything and don't ask him about it. I don't want to be the nagging wife. But I really, I didn't think he was doing anything questionable, so I didn't, it was almost as if I didn't care, which was one of my biggest mistakes as a wife, you know, not caring. But as he was going through all of this, my friend, she talked to me about it. She said, you know, Don, money is disappearing from your bank accounts and you don't know where it's going and you don't know what he's spending it on. Are you sure he's not on drugs? And in my mind, that hadn't even crossed my mind. I just thought, no way, that doesn't happen to me. You know, I came from a good family and married into a good family, and that kind of stuff doesn't happen in our families. So I didn't think anything of it. I just thought, no, he's just going through a rough time.
Yeah. So you continue, Capone, to you know, to abuse, just taking drugs and still doing your work. You was you know, still being successful, but then things begin to get rough because you know, the drug abuse, you started to you know, spend money and begin to get into thousands of dollars, and so you know, because after a while it got worse along the way, and I remember you sharing where, you know, even like it affected your daughter, you know, and that kind of like God was kind of exposing it. He was just bringing it out because you were hiding it so good. But I think because of God's love, he started to expose it. Tell us about that.
You know, I think I always took pride in the fact that I could balance my social life and my work life. And I don't know if I was fooling anyone but myself, but I really did. And with all the accolades that were happening in those few years, it was hard for me to sit down and say, oh, look, it's having a negative effect on me, because really it wasn't. It was having a very positive effect. But as I got deeper and deeper into it, and as I started having to feed my habit a lot more money was taken out, and I started tapping into sources that I probably would have never done if I wasn't.
Were you aware of the slippery slide, or were you, you know, just... Was it so subtle that you couldn't have even known, at least within your own mind?
I definitely think that I was aware of what was happening, but the changes were really, really small at first, it seemed like to me. You know, I realized what I was doing wrong, but when you're face to face with, well, if I stop now and, you know, I'm not going to be able to function for 4 or 5 days, and then people will know. And then the truth will be found out, because I won't be the same person being able to balance all of these things anymore, because a lot of my energy, a lot of my work effort was all based now on drugs. You know, the ability to stay up late now was all functioning off of that. And I knew that if I stopped, it would just be a downhill thing for me.
You used a word earlier, more like a phrase. You said things were closing in, and it was something in that respect that catapulted you to make certain choices that eventually led down to this slippery slope. Right. Describe what it felt like for things to be closing in.
I think for me, it just felt like I was by myself, with no one really there to understand me, and to have these forces and these pressures from work, and to have these addictions and the need to feed them, and the need to be able to find money to feed those things, and to be able to keep my wife happy and pay the bills and do all these things. I really felt like the walls were closing in, and I didn't have any other option but to dig deeper, if that makes sense. Rather than try to get out of that box, it was like, okay, well, let's just make this box deeper. Let's just keep going and climbing downwards until, I don't know. I don't know what I saw as the end game here.
Kupono, you are describing a very deep part of your life, and I'm moved by your transparency, that there's a level of graciousness, a generosity there in your ability to do that. I think, obviously we give God praise for the grace that he's given you. But feeling closed in the way that you described, someone listening right now is feeling closed in. Mm-hmm. And they too are, in their own thinking, trying to dig deeper. It's a survival instinct. You go deeper, deeper.
Yeah, that's right.
You've got to survive. The thought hasn't even occurred to them to transition out. My friend, today, the Lord sends Kupono and Don Konoho. Are you feeling closed in? Are you wondering if there's any way to get out? Maybe you're at a place where you've gone so far down that everything is so subtle, small changes, but deep down you know something is really wrong. When we come back, you'll hear more of what God did in them and he can do in you. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hear me call.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, we all know it. Sometimes life just seems unfair. And you start thinking, you know, why is this happening to me? Why do I deserve this? Why doesn't someone else who is a worse person than I am, get the brunt of what I'm experiencing today? If you ever felt that way, my friend, you're not alone. You're not alone at all. In fact, our guests are sharing out of their heart, out of their life, what they experience inside and outside. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host Alfredo Canencia and our guests today, Kapono and Don Kanoho. You can find out more about this program and get this, if you're tuning in right now, you can get the program in its entirety for free at thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hey, Don, you were talking about how, how when in this whole thing that Kapono was going through, that you had some struggles in your heart because you were trying to do the right thing and serve God. You were part of the worship. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that, because I think a lot of Christians go through what you've gone through, and the mindset of thinking, "Wow, God, I'm doing all of this. How come this happened to me?" And share with us.
Yes. Yeah, so during this time, it was my plan to be pregnant. I wanted my kids to be 4 years apart. So it was my plan to get pregnant at this time. And, you know, I was praying about it and nothing was happening. I was going to church every Sunday, you know, playing keyboard on the worship team. I was leading a small group, we call them grace group, at our house. And we were doing worship during group. And I would pray every day. I was doing my devotionals. I was journaling, spending time with God. And I just started thinking, well, you know, I'm doing all of these things for you, God. Why, you know, you can't just answer my prayer, give me, you know, what I want. I'm doing all of this for you. And I started to get frustrated, you know, but I continued to serve God. But all this time, I think my attitude was, I do this for you. You can give me something, right? Right. And not realizing that God had already done everything for me. I was nobody to ask him to give me something because I play on the worship team for you or I do this you. He had already sacrificed everything for me, you know, when he sent Jesus to die on the cross for me. And I think I had to come to that place of just realizing my attitude was an attitude of entitlement, and I deserve all these things because of what I do for you, but not realizing that I already had everything because of the sacrifice that Jesus made.
Now something happened to both of you when you went to a marriage seminar that, you know, Dawn, you shared with your friends and about, you know, Kapono coming to this marriage seminar that really started to open up with God dealing with Kapono, but also dealing with you. Tell us about that.
You want to share
your perspective? You know, leading up to this marriage seminar, at this point, I had already began to feel the walls closing in, like I said, right? You know, people started to notice money missing. One of my buddies that I did drugs with had left drugs in the house, which my daughter found. Basically, I was getting found out slowly but surely. And I knew that Dawn was sharing what was happening to me and to her with her small group. And I know the way things work sometimes in church where word gets around. And so when I was asked to go to this marriage seminar with Dawn, I went. But the whole time that we sat there and surrounded by all these people that we knew, all these people that we loved, all these people that had been in the church since we were in high school and had been close to us and our kids played together, all of these things, I felt their eyes on me. And whether or not it was true or not, I felt like everyone was staring at me, and I felt like everyone was judging me, and I felt everyone was talking about me. And I literally almost could hear my name, you know, being whispered amongst people. And it might have been paranoia, It might have been the drugs. But in either case, I left. I sat up from the marriage seminar, and I walked out of the room. And I went to the car and had a cigarette, I think, at that time, and just didn't want anything to do with it. And Dawn came out, you know, after a few minutes, and she was furious. She was furious that I had left and made her feel embarrassed like that. And I lashed out at her, and I said, look, you don't know what it's like to be me, to have everyone in that room judging me without even knowing what I'm going through. You don't know what it's like for me to have these people stare at me and to talk about me, and you know, you don't understand. And I lashed out at her, and I broke down. I started crying. And I think it was at that point that kind of Dawn started noticing something a little bit different about that reaction.
Yeah, so he had left the marriage seminar, and I was sitting there by myself, wondering, where's my husband in this marriage seminar? And after a while, I went outside to go look for him and found him in the car, like he said. And yeah, he was mad. He was feeling judged, everything that he just shared. And initially, I got mad. I said, well, you know, that's your fault. You're feeling judged. Nobody's looking at you. We're in church. You know, these people love God. They love you. And my attitude was, stop thinking of yourself. But then in that moment, I stopped and I saw my husband, and I just saw how broken he was and how I had destroyed, in a way, our marriage, because I had shared our struggles, you know, in group, in my small group. I'm thinking, oh, this is a safe place, which it is. But there's a time and place for things to be shared. And I had pretty much exposed everything that was going on in our lives, you know, what with the drugs, my daughter finding that little bag of ice in her bedroom, and money disappearing. I had shared with them everything. And in that moment, while we're in the car, I realized that I had caused all of this by, you know, gossiping. And I think for women, that's a huge thing. You think that, oh, I'm going to talk to my friend because I need help. I don't know what to do. And I just, you know, I need you to pray for me and I don't know what else to get. I just needed somebody to talk to. And it was a bunch of somebodies that I was talking to. And, you know, there's a difference between, you know, gossiping and just seeking out counsel, I guess.
Dawn, how would you do it differently if you had it to do over again? Knowing what you know now.
I definitely would not have talked with as many women as I did. And I did seek out counsel from older women, you know, much older from me. And I think that's what I would have done differently, is, you know, not so much spreading, you know, sharing my story with every single person that I came in contact with who asked me, oh, how are you doing? But really asking God to reveal to me, who is it that you want me to speak to that can speak into my life? Who have you anointed to speak into my life about the situation that I'm going to? So seeking out God first and who he wants me to talk to.
There's a wisdom of discernment there, a deal of sensitivity. But in the face of, and this is my question would be, did you feel like at that time you really didn't have those filters, because it was so overwhelming to you that you didn't know how to deal with it?
Oh, so definitely. I had never had to go through anything like this before. You know, I came from a, maybe you can say, sheltered background, but, you know, my growing up, we were always safe, and there's no clue. I had no clue about drugs and all these things that happen in the world. And so for me to be in this and have a husband who's addicted to drugs is just so new to me. I had no idea what to do. You know, I was at the point where, do I call a private investigator and find out what's going on? I had no idea. And so I just was looking for anybody to help me, to guide me, to tell me what I should do. And in doing that, I did share with anybody and everybody, you know.
You mentioned something about, I mean, you went to the level of saying, using the word destroy the marriage. There is that fine line of the sensitivity of protecting our spouse's dignity.
Right, that's right.
Or at least to the point where they feel like you just exposed me. That's what I'm gathering. Kapono.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amidst all of that, God was extending grace. Obviously,
right.
The Lord has done marvelous things in mm-hmm. the process. Your heart at some point began to soften for Kapono. How did that take place?
Well, actually, it was in that moment when I saw my husband just defeated and broken. And God grabbed a hold of me and he reminded me, you know, I've shown you grace all your life. You don't deserve the things that you have. I've loved you and I provide for you. And who are you to withhold that same grace from your husband, the one that I've given you as your life partner, the person that you're supposed to love and respect? And here he is just broken. And it's because of the enemy working in you that he's at this point. You know, you've withheld respect from him. You've withheld love from him. And I realized that I was definitely withholding grace from him. And when I realized that I've been given grace all my life, it was a huge realization that that's what I needed to be doing for my husband, is to be giving him grace even through everything that he was, you know, he was going through with the drugs and taking money. All of these things that he was doing, I needed to show him grace.
Awesome.
The marvel of grace, Coach.
Yes.
And we've mentioned about the marriage conference.
Yes.
Kapono actually leaving the marriage conference.
Right.
You know, under a sense of paranoia and just, you know, a feeling of exposure and maybe a bit of shame, maybe a great deal of shame.
Yeah.
But you know what? The marriage conference actually extended into the parking lot. Maybe that was a breakout session that was going on personally.
That was God's desire for that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For that the breakout session room was the car, maybe a cigarette, maybe, you know. But the name on the door
<That's awesome.
laughs> of that particular breakout session room was Kapono and Don Kanoho.
Yeah.
It was a personalized moment.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
When God began to really shine his gracious, loving searchlight into their hearts.
Awesome.
And he does it in our hearts
yes.
on the level of total openness, honesty, authenticity, no holds barred. You'll hear more about this when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, somebody might be listening and you heard the last part of the previous segment and you're thinking to yourself, wow, she's just taking all the blame, you know? I mean, she said it's my fault. But you say to yourself, wasn't he on drugs? Wasn't he the one making those decisions? Well, you hear from them in a moment just to talk about that and more. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host Alfredo Canencia. We're so glad you're with us today. This program is dealing with a certain level of sensitivity in relationships, particularly in the marriage relationship. And if you're like us, we know that there's no perfect marriage. And beyond the veneer, behind the facade, there is stuff that's going on. And the beauty of it is God is with us in working through those things. Find out more about this program at thegoodlifehawaii.com, this and other resources.
Kapono, you know, when Dawn was sharing about, you know, it was maybe her fault and, you know, in really maybe somewhat destroying the marriage. But you really felt that God was dealing with you and it wasn't her fault. Tell us about that, what you felt.
You know, yeah, I mean, just sitting here and hearing her describe the way she felt about destroying the marriage, I that's somewhat of a surprise to me because I honestly never, ever would put that on her. She was the reason why our marriage survived in a lot of ways, aside from God. But, I mean, to hear her put that on herself is a little bit of a shock to me because in my own mind and looking back at what we did, I really think so much of it was on me and this, the decisions I made. But I think the beautiful part about that day when Dawn was hit with, you know, God's wisdom, and she decided to start loving me and to stop talking about me and to stop harassing me and to stop. It was literally like a night and day transformation, because everything stopped. The fighting stopped. The accusation stopped. She didn't call me asking me where I was. And she extended a grace that's, I think, beyond my comprehension. I didn't know it at the time, but there was definitely a noticeable difference in our household. We stopped arguing. She stopped pestering me. And I think the beauty of that is in that silence, it allowed God to start speaking to me in ways that I had never heard him before.
Well, you know, you shared about how you were washing your car one day and out of the blue skies and God spoke to your mm-hmm. heart. Tell us about yeah. that.
You know, I don't know about you, but God doesn't speak to me audibly a whole lot. And I was just washing my car and, you know, probably coming down from something at that point. And God literally just reached into my head and audibly told me that you need to stop what you're doing or you're going to die. It wasn't a fluffy message that he had to give me. It was literally a warning that you need to stop what you're doing. The path that you're heading down now doesn't end well. And I started crying and I broke down and I went in the house and I hugged my wife and I promised her that changes were coming and that I was going to be different. And that was the first time I think I actually felt God reaching into my box and literally shaking me up. And it was a powerful, powerful way to do it. And it definitely had an effect.
Yeah. And you shared about how, you know, you were hoping someone would confront you and talk to you about, you know, what you were going through because, you know, you thought if someone would care, they would confront you. And one of your good friends actually had the courage to call it out on you in this whole, you know, process of God bringing change in your life. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, I pride myself on being a friendly person and I pride myself on having a lot of friends but I don't let a lot of people into my life, if that makes sense. I have a lot of friends and a lot of people know who I am, but I don't let many people in. I use humor as my defense. I use sarcasm as my defense and I never really let people into what I'm thinking. But while I was going through all of this, the deeper that I got into it, I was really hoping that someone would reach in and help me, that someone would call me out, that someone would challenge me, that someone would argue with me to figure out what was going on in my life. And no one did. Everyone stayed on the surface. And I put that on me. Based on my past behaviors, they had no reason to want to reach in. You know, I put on a front. I let them know that I was doing okay, even though I wasn't. And it really took a really close friend of mine, somebody that I've grown up with since high school, to literally pull me aside at a birthday party and ask me point blank, Capone, be honest with me, are you on drugs? And the fact that someone took that time to actually call me out on my sins was huge. And I'm pretty sure I lied to him that day, but just to have a voice reach in for once was such a...
And he might have even known you just...
Oh yeah.
That,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. He knows me better than
a lot of people, right?
As but, a true friends would know.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. But just to know that someone actually cared for once was huge for me. And I know people care out there, but to have somebody just call me out on my problems was huge.
Someone today may be in a position, Kupono, where they know something going on in a dear friend. Mm-hmm. And it's a similar scenario where that person has a veil of protection around them. They use humor. They use they have various mechanisms to keep people
right.
from going in deeper. But they know inside. And they also know that they have entree to that person's life because of a long-standing relationship that was based on trust. What would you encourage that person to do or to think in a situation like this? With their friend who may be in jeopardy.
You know, I'm sure Don can add in a little to this too, but from my perspective as being the recipient of grace and being the recipient of intervention, I think for me, what I would say to someone out there trying to reach out to someone that went through what I did is literally just love on them. And to have somebody there that unconditionally will accept all their faults and all their behaviors and just love on them and not judge them and not push them away and to be genuinely concerned with what they're doing with their lives. You know, part of the whole problem began because I didn't have anyone checking in on my life. No one was there to to ask me where I was going. No one was there to ask me what time I'd be home. And I don't put that on my wife, but that was our relationship. It was built on trust of each other. But that trust, I think, can sometimes lead down the wrong path if someone abuses it. And I definitely abused it. She didn't care what I was doing. And I think by not having someone there to be accountable to was huge. And it led me down faster down this hole than I probably would have ever been. And so I think for anyone out there listening, you know, just loving on them and caring about what they're doing is huge. Caring about where they go, caring about who they're talking to, being curious into their lives and asking them and being point blank with them. They may not like it, they may not appreciate it, but it'll hit them. And it did for me.
Any further insights on that, Don?
Well, just to jump on what he said or reiterate what he said, but I honestly was upset with people, and especially his friends that he grew up with from high school through college, all, you know, throughout church. I was upset thinking, this is your friend, you know, say something to him. I wanted somebody to say something to him, but nobody did. So for you as a friend, I would say don't be afraid of offending the other person, being insensitive. Somebody going through what my husband went through, I feel they need that irritation. They need that constant person to keep asking them or be there asking them, are you okay? What's going on in your life? You know, it's point blank, like he said, his friend asked him, are you on drugs? You know, just being honest, asking, looking for an honest answer. And even if they say, no, I'm fine, and you have that tugging in your heart, like, no, something is not right, not to just let it go and say, okay, he said he's fine, so God, I did what you told me to do. I asked him, and he said he's fine. But if you still have that tugging, that nagging feeling, you know, keep going after that person, because they want somebody, like he said, to ask them about what they're doing. He wanted somebody in his life to keep him accountable, but not that people gave up on him so easily, but there wasn't that constant checking in with him, I guess.
It's that loving confrontation.
Mm. Yes.
That the courage to have that, to do that.
Would you say, Don Copono, to this person who may have a friend in jeopardy, would you say risk it?
Definitely.
Risk the confrontation.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Risk it.
And they may not respond to it at first. They may resent you for it, but it'll hit them.
And there you have it. The word goes out. Hey, you know, when it comes to friendship, when it comes to love, when it comes to somebody's life, when it comes to somebody's marriage, when it comes to somebody's future, you know, when someone's on the precipice, on the very threshold of stepping off a cliff and they don't even know it, Don and Copono and Coach say, risk it.
That's right.
Risk it. It'll save their life. Yeah. It'll save their marriage. When we come back, a moment that you could just call it a firing. And a firing is so sudden, it also launched them to a new direction. Stay with us. You'll hear about it. We'll be right back.
Aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you on.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
It really is astonishing, you know, when you look back, and you see how things transpired, you begin to think, when you reflect upon God, you say, wow, he was so masterful in the unfolding of that plan. It was all being set up. Prayers being answered, prayers that I pray, prayers that other people prayed, prayers that God was just setting everything up. And I can see it all now as I look back. A story of Kapono and Don Konoho here at the Good Life Radio Show. You can get this program again and other resources at thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Okay, Don, you know, as you're going through the process and still, you know, extending grace to your husband, you actually find out, you know, you're pregnant and you give birth to your second child. And mm-hmm. How was that? Because God began to speak to you through the birth of your second child.
So, in getting pregnant with our second child, Eli, it was a realization for me that, okay, you know, God is there. It was a, not a slap in the face, but a wake-up call, like, yes, I am here. I see what you're going through. I know, you know, because all this time I'm thinking I want things my way. And God's way is always perfect, as we find out later. We should know that, but we're so stubborn in wanting things done our way. But with the birth of, or getting pregnant with Eli was my, I guess, blessing, my promise from God, his comfort to me, or telling me that everything is going to be okay. Because even during this time when I found out we were pregnant, my husband is still
struggling,
on drugs.
Struggling.
But through that, I saw that God is saying, it'll be okay, it'll be okay. You know, here's my promise to you. We're going to come out of this. You're going to come out of this stronger. You guys are going to come out of this closer as a family. I'm going to be restoring things in your life.
Right. And you guys, after you went on a family vacation, and in the midst of that, Kapono, you had a talk with your mom, and you decided to leave that time because you went home, and God dealt with you with the drug abuse. Tell us about that.
You know, all these little things, from Don extending grace at the seminar, to my friend calling me out on things, to my wife getting pregnant and giving birth, were all little ways that God was turning my heart around. And we had a family staycation here on the island, and my brother flew down, and my sister was here, and my mom was here, and we all went out and then stayed at a hotel. I basically took it as an opportunity for me to be removed from the drug lifestyle and the scene, and just to be with the family And while I was there, I was getting a little harassed by my mom. She wanted to know why I was so down and why I was sleeping all the time and why I didn't want to interact with people. It's because I was removed from what I needed to keep me up. And so out of frustration, I left the hotel and I drove back home and went to my safe spot where I kept everything. And, you know, my drug of choice was pills. But I had other stuff too. And I laid it all out there and cried. And debated whether or not I should take everything at once or just to take a little bit or, you know, what am I going to do here? And God reached out to me and let me know that I needed to get rid of everything. And as painful as it was, yeah, I'm part Chinese. I don't like wasting anything, okay? But to dump thousands and thousands of dollars worth of drugs down the toilet and to smash things and to get rid of every container I had that held everything that I hid, it was huge. It was liberating for me. And it's funny because that's the day that I let everything go. But it was God moving up until that moment through little steps, through little people, through my wife, through moments, through marriage seminars that led me to that point. And I was able to take that next step to sobriety.
Kupono, this, you and Dawn being here, this may be a point in someone's journey, or it may be a convergence point. It may be that moment where they're going to make a decision. And there's a way that it happens where it just sort of comes together at a definitive point. We don't necessarily always know when it's going to come, when it's going to happen. Someone being on the journey, encourage them today in the way that you've experienced God working in your life.
For me, letting go of what I had come to love, and it really was a love for me, a lust. It was a habitual desire, right, to keep myself fueled by drugs. To come to the point where I had to decide whether or not to keep going down that path or to head toward the unknown, to head toward what God had promised for me was huge. But at that point, I had seen God working in my life. I had seen the blessing of my son come along. I had seen my family come together, and everyone was supporting me. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I knew I had to deal with the consequences of my actions. But I came to that crossroads where I had to make a choice, either to keep going down a path that was leading towards so many things going wrong in my life, to going towards the unknown and going towards what God had promised for me. And there will come a point in your life where you have to make that choice. And it's not an easy choice to make because it's a choice between what you're used to and what you have come to love versus the unknown versus embracing what God has planned for you, which you don't really know it is sometimes. And you have to trust in me in saying this, is that God has such bigger and better things planned for your life than you will ever comprehend. And even in the worst moments, no matter what you are, no matter what you've done to your family, no matter what you've done to your friends, no matter how much money you've taken, no matter every single sin that you can possibly think about that you've done to hurt people, all of that will pale in comparison to what God will open up for you when you make that decision.
We've got a few minutes left.
Yeah. You know, all this coming down to Christmas morning. Tell us about, just in a brief moment. Now, this all came to a close, this chapter of your life on Christmas morning. Tell us about that.
You know, so things had been coming out in the open for a while now, and I had felt better. I was recovering. I was kind of getting out of my habits and going through withdrawals. And it came to the point where everything seemed like it was heading down the right path, but little did I know that the seeds that I had sown all these years, all the hurts that I had done, all the money that had been stolen, all the things that I had done wrong, were really coming to a pinnacle. And on Christmas Day, I was fired from my job. And looking back on it now, I think, why in the heck would God choose to let me lose my job, to get my company cars taken away, to have no paychecks coming in, and to literally have it all stripped away on the day of his son's birth. The irony of it is shocking to me. But I think that was the best Christmas present I could receive at that time.
Why? Why was it the best?
It literally was like God clearing the table. It was God clearing the table of everything that had taken place over the last 2 years. It was God setting the stage for new beginnings for us. Mm. And even in the turmoil of that decision to have me fired, I really felt that there was a promise that God was setting up for us. And it was a sign of things to come.
A few moments. We got just a parting shot. Don, I'm going to give it to you. You know, how would you encourage someone who's experienced a firing moment in their life right now from your perspective?
My thing is grace throughout grace. This whole journey. Was once I realized how amazing God's grace is, I tried in every aspect of my life to live out that grace, to love people. I'm not a people person, but to love people and try to love people the way that God loves people.
That's Kopono and Don Konoho sharing about a new trajectory, a launching pad on Christmas Day. A firing, yes, but a launching to a new direction, having been repositioned to fulfill the purpose of God. Dear one, as you've heard them today, I hope that you were encouraged by their insights, by their life. I'm grateful for you, Kopono and Don. Thank you for being with us today. You know, God's timing is indeed perfect, and there's no better time than right now. Look, to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you do it? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a presentation for you there. And to help us with your financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. I want to thank you in advance for that. 2 Corinthians 12:9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Kopono and Don Konoho. Until next time, along with my co-host Alfredo Canencia, our technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll